I invite you to open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We've been thinking about and talking about for a few Sundays the Holy Spirit, the divine person of the Holy Spirit, and how He's operative in our life and in our Christian experience. And last Sunday we thought about what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I said that the atmosphere of that command in Ephesians 4 to not grieve the Holy Spirit is in the form of rebuke and exhortation and correction. And today I want us to think about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The atmosphere of these words is more celebrative in nature, worshipful. And at the same time, it is a command we are to obey. We are to be filled with the Spirit. So let's read these verses and think about what each one is teaching us. Beginning with verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Obviously, the word "and" means we're breaking into a context. And the larger context is that we live a life of wisdom. And so part of what it means to live wise before the Lord is to not get drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. But we're looking more specifically at that theme, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So let's start the reading again. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." I think it's been close to 20 years ago, while attending a Christian and Missionary Alliance event, we had the opportunity to hear Stuart Briscoe preach to our Alliance family. I do recall that he preached on these verses. And I have no idea what his position on these verses or how he applied these verses to us as believing people. But I do remember almost word for word, even though it's been almost two decades, his introduction. It's a good one. He looked at the Alliance family and he said these words, "If after this service you're planning on going out and getting drunk, don't." And then he said, "If after this service you're planning on going out not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't." One gets a chuckle. It's obvious. Don't get drunk. The other needs some explaining. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But these two commands are side by side, and that does matter. And so our theme is the fullness of the Spirit. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit. It means living under the influence of the Spirit. It is yielding to the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, who is God. It is to submit to the lordship and authority and power of the Holy Spirit over your life. And we need to understand, based on where this verse is found in Ephesians, that it is really impossible to live the Christian life without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Please believe that. The reason is because after explaining the gospel and its ramifications in the first three chapters, Paul transitions to a picture of what a holy life, a pure life, really looks like. from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 5, verse 21. It's the picture of a holy life, what it means to live in unity with each other, what it means to put off vices and put on virtues, what it means to strive together to walk as children of light while the rest of the world is lost in spiritual doctrine. It's a magnificent picture of what it means to live a life of love and to live a life of hope and to live a life of purity and to live a life of holiness. And we come to the end of that long stretch of verses and he says, do not be drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like he is underlining in his conclusion of this section, you really can't live adequately a biblically shaped life unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is right to say, if you're planning on leaving this service not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't. So what does it mean? As I've already tried to plan in your mind, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is essentially to be controlled by the Spirit, to surrender to His sovereignty, to live under the influence of the Almighty Holy Spirit, who is a person, who is God, who lives in you. One of the reasons we know the idea of being filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit is simply because of what the word filled actually means. Let's be clear about that. When Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he is not telling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit like your gas tank might be filled, or like a cup might be filled to the top, overflowing with coffee. Nor does he mean something like be filled with the Holy Spirit like the book of Philippians is filled with joy. It's only 104 verses, but there are over 20 references to joy in Philippians. It is the dominating theme that fills the pages and verses of Philippians. He doesn't mean that. The Holy Spirit is not a liquid poured into us and He fills us up. No, He's a person. And we are to live under His authority, under the sweet sovereignty and power of the Holy Spirit. He is to be the controlling influence in our lives. So what's a better way to think of this word filled? Well, sometimes you may hear someone say something like, that friend of mine, she's filled with wonder. Or, that boy over there, I'm pointing to no boy in particular, that boy's full of mischief. Or you might say, he's filled with anxiety, or she's filled with sorrow and grief. Meaning these emotions are the controlling influence of the life of this person. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled like that. Though the Spirit is more than an emotion, He is certainly an emotional Spirit. He's a person who is passionate, emotional about holiness and about Christ-likeness and about glorifying Christ. And when He indwells us, He wishes to control our thinking and our talking and our living. To be filled with the Spirit is to submit to His Lordship. It is to have Him as the controlling influence of our lives. I think it is helpful at this point to think about the first command, which is, do not get drunk with wine, for this leads to debauchery. Understand, though, in the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about drunkenness, not a pleasant theme. We have not changed subjects. We find here something of an odd illustration of what it means to live under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit. So again, verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, or your NIV says it leads to this kind of wasted lifestyle. Just a little over a month ago, a friend of mine here in the church and I drove to Baltimore to watch the Yankees play the Orioles. It's a hard day today because the Yankees were out last night, but we will move on. So we were there watching the Yankees and the Orioles play a game. And before the game even started, a young couple came and sat beside us. And it took about 2 seconds to realize she had been drinking a good bit before the game even started. And she was sitting beside me. I knew she had been drinking because her speech was obnoxious. She was very loud and staggered a bit. One time I actually steadied her, no kidding. And she drank some more. And she drank some more. And I just couldn't believe it. My soul was just heartbroken. And the reason I know she had reached the state of total drunkenness was because her obnoxious language turned to cruel language and crude language. So much so that my friend who was with me, who's older and wiser, said in a very fatherly tone, "You ought not to speak like that." And she made an excuse and he says, "I don't think you should ever talk like that." And she had a moment of clarity because she looked me right in the eye and she says, "That's wisdom, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, it is, and you should listen." But she drank one more time. And her drinking turned to violence. For she took her fist and she whacked the guy she was with in the head. And then she staggered out, almost falling. Do not get drunk with wine. Because when you come under the influence of alcohol, it controls how you talk. It controls how you think. It influences how you act. And it keeps you from walking a straight line. It is a tragic, tragic thing. So much so that the book of Proverbs describes drunkenness like this. Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. In other words, those who covet drink to the point of drunkenness. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea. What happens if you are drunk and you lie down in the midst of the sea? You may drown. They struck me, you say, but I was not hurt. Oh, but you'll feel it in the morning. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. And Paul is drawing off of that tragic imagery of what the controlling influence of alcohol can do when it takes over a person. It makes a person angry and violent and crude and rude. It controls their talk and their walk. And Paul says, do not be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit instead. Be under His sovereign control. Be under His influence. Be under His rule. Let Him have sway over you and in you. Live under the authority and by the power of the Holy Spirit, not alcohol. Do you see the picture that he is drawing there by juxtaposing these two commands? Bruce Ware, a theologian, writes, instead of taking in too much wine that ends up influencing you to speak and act in ways that are wrong and sinful, let the Spirit be such a strong influence in your life that you end up speaking and acting in ways that are holy and honoring to Christ. And so you have this command here. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now listen, it is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is a present tense imperative. It's a command, and it's a command for all believers. It's not just for a select few, some elite kind of Christian person. It's not a command that some obey so they can be an influence and an authority over your life. No, no. It is a command for all believers to be filled with the Spirit. So again, it is right to say, if after this service you plan on leaving not filled with the Spirit, don't. And it's a present tense, which means go on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. It's a command to be owed. Here's a command, love one another. Here's another command, worship God only. We know those are commands we are to always keep fixed in our minds and every day love one another, every day worship only God, and in that list of commands, every day be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be controlled, to live under His influence, to yield to His Lordship, to bow to His sovereign sway over us. Well, that's what it means. But what does a life filled with the Holy Spirit look like? Again, never divorce these verses from their context. And if you don't mind a little grammar, please don't mind a little grammar. Here's why these verses matter. It's a present tense command. Don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And listen, listen, it's followed by a string of participles. Oh, isn't that fun? You know what participles are? The ing words. Here it is addressing, singing, giving thanks, submitting. Do you see what the apostle is doing with this language? This command, be filled with the Spirit, followed by these participles, which are the results, the consequences, the fruit. What a life filled with the Holy Spirit actually looks like. That's what He's doing here, you see. So what does a Spirit-filled life look like? Well, one thing is a Spirit-filled believer worships his Lord or her Lord. Look at verse 19. And do not get, verse 19, addressing, your version may singing, may say singing, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. A person filled with the Holy Spirit loves giving God praise from the heart. You know, praise must be in the heart and must come from the heart, but it must also be on the lips. And here, Paul is saying, when you sing, when you address one another in worship, when you talk to one another language of praise, do it from the Psalter. A soul saturated and soaked in the Psalter will be a soul that can more easily praise God. We're to sing to one another, and we're to sing from the heart to the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, for He is good, the psalmist says. David in Psalm 51 is down. He's been convicted of his sin. He's overwhelmed by conviction. He cries out to God for mercy. And he says, oh, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And God forgives him. And the Holy Spirit remains on David. So that in the middle of Psalm 51, David prays, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praises. One who is filled with the Holy Spirit is a worshiper. Secondly, a Spirit-filled believer gives thanks to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are to be people who live a lifestyle of unbroken gratitude. A grumbling spirit is void of the fullness of the Spirit, no matter what our confession may be. You know, there is an interesting passage in 2 Timothy 3. It provides a long list, a tragic picture of what life will be like in the last days. It almost sounds like modern times when I read it to you. But just listen to this list. In the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, disobedient to parents, slanderous, without self-control, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound about right? Right in the middle of that list is the word ungrateful. It is the characteristic of those who persist in their rebellion against God and their disdain of God. But here Paul says, not so with you who are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are grateful. But he says this, in everything. That's a qualified everything. Nowhere in Holy Scripture are we urged to be grateful for blatant evil. Can you imagine anyone looking up to heaven and saying, thank you, O God, that I committed that blatant evil? Or thank you, O God, that that blatant evil was committed against me? No, no. The Scriptures say God abhors evil and He hates it. But His everything is qualified by God the Father and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember just a while ago we sang, I wrote it down, we are carried along by His grace, we're held by His peace, we're never really alone. And Michelle said people sing in difficult times, Jesus, lover of my soul. You see, a life of gratitude is unbroken because we can always thank and praise God for His abiding presence, His sustaining grace, and His sweet promises, and the fact that He is so sovereign in the evil that always remains abhorrent and evil, He is able to bring His good purposes out of it, and so we praise Him. Spirit-filled people live grateful lives. And thirdly, Spirit-filled believers submit to one another. They submit to one another. Verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word submit literally means to line yourself up under the authority and the well-being of another person. It is the opposite of being self-promoting and self-assertive and brash. And we do it out of reverence for Christ, out of the fear of the Lord, out of honor to Christ, out of love for Christ. We live to gently and humbly and lovingly serve one another. That's what a Spirit-filled life looks like. A worshiper, a grateful person, a real servant of the Lord. But there remains a question, doesn't there? How can we be filled or controlled by the Spirit more and more? Would you look at those verses? Is that question ever answered there? Look at me. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't go out of this service not filled with the Spirit. What's the question? Yes, be sure. Thank you, Newell. Yes, but how? It's interesting, there are two things we can do to assure the Spirit's fullness. One I would like to illustrate from Paul the Apostle, and the other one I would like to illustrate from A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance. Simpson is not as inspired as Paul, but he's inspiring, I can assure you, especially on this theme. So how can we be controlled by the Spirit or filled with the Spirit? Would you leave Ephesians 5 and find Colossians chapter 3? Colossians 3. And we're almost done. Ephesians and Colossians were written at the same time and cover the same basic material. They were circular letters. The letter of the Ephesians was sent to Colossae, and the letter to the Colossians was sent to Ephesus. And so the repetition was always communicated in a fresh way. And all of you know the value of parallel passages, correct? Comparing one passage to another. This is a huge parallel passage. In Colossians 3, verse 16, we read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now watch it. "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart." Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. Verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Does that sound familiar? A life of gratitude, a life of worship. What about submission? Verse 18, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Mutual submission as well. Sound familiar? Where is the command to be filled with the Spirit? Those are the same participles, the same outcome, the same look. The command is replaced with a different one. He's saying it in a different way. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." In other words, be filled up with the word of God. The word actually means let the word of God move in and settle in your heart as though it is your home, and let it be there richly as though it is your greatest treasure. Live under the influence and under the authority and under the control of the word of God, of Christ's word. Do you see? So one of the things that we should do, if we want the Holy Spirit in His power and in His grace to control our lives, we must master the book the Holy Spirit Himself inspired, the Word of God. And it's interesting, in the Scriptures, the Word of God and the Spirit are never separated. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we must master the Word of God. And secondly, we must ask for the Spirit's fullness. Do you remember Jesus there in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel? He says in one sentence, chapter 11, verse 13, "Ask the Father, and He will give you the Holy Spirit." A.W. Tozer, thinking about that verse in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, put it this way: "Not a day goes by but that I give myself completely to the Holy Spirit. Nothing is more crucial to my daily pursuit of God than my surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit and His control over my life." A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, You should read his hymns. They are filled with great truth. And for the last several days, I've been reading this prayer where he's asking the Father for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's from his hymn, O Comforter, Gentle and Tender. I want you to just listen to these words. O Comforter, Gentle and Tender, O Holy and Heavenly Dove, we yield our hearts in surrender. We're waiting thy fullness to prove. Then he sings, O come as the heart-searching fire, O come as the sin-cleansing flood, consume us with holy desire and fill with the fullness of God. And then he sings, Anoint us with gladness and healing, baptize us with power from on high, O come with thy filling and sealing, while low at thy footstool we bow. You see, that's why I've said in the sermon over and over, to be filled with the Spirit is to bow before the sweet sovereignty of the Spirit and say, rule me, Holy Spirit. Control me. And in his refrain, he sings, we're waiting for thee, O heavenly dove. We're yielding our hearts to surrender. We're waiting thy fullness to prove. What's he doing? He's asking. Oh, Holy Spirit, as I go out and face the day, I yield to you. I invite you to be sovereign over how I think and how I speak and how I walk and how I act. Holy Spirit, conform me to the truth of Scripture. Grant to me the heart that wants to love and serve Jesus. Holy Spirit, rule my life. That is a good way to keep on being filled with the Spirit. So, if after this sermon you're planning on going out and getting drunk, don't. I know that there's a permissibility in Scripture for alcohol, but there is none for drunkenness. And most of the time when Scripture speaks of alcohol, it's very negative because it's rebuking drunkenness. Don't. But don't leave the service and go out into your day not filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me. Control me. Let me walk the path of Jesus in a way that glorifies Him. Let us pray. O Comforter, gentle and tender, O holy and heavenly dove, we're yielding our hearts in surrender. We're waiting thy fullness to prove. O come with thy filling and sealing, while low at thy footstool we bow. Amen.